How sweet and how delightful. We continue our study, Glimpses of Heaven, as seen by the overcomers in the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, please. Book of the Revelation, chapter 3, verse 21. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne. To sit with the Lord on his throne. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. We are going to sit with the Lord on his throne. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. He said unto her, What do you want? She saith unto him, Grant that my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, the one on thy left hand. My. She wanted something for her sons. In his glory and on his throne, one of her sons to sit on his right hand and one to sit on the left. Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are. He said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism whereof I am baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. It is given to those whom the Father has prepared. She wanted her sons to sit one on the right hand and one on the left. The Lord said, No, my Father decides that. And in our text we read that we overcomers are going to sit on his throne. What they wanted, the Lord said, My Father will decide. But he has decided that we are going to sit on his throne. We have a lot to look forward to. The book of the Romans, please. Romans 8 and verse 30. Romans 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestinated, them he called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Now note. And whom he justified, he glorified. And one day we're going to be glorified. We're going to sit with him on his throne. The highest social order on earth or in heaven. I recall when I was in school, I was asked to join a fraternity. Now, young folks, don't join anything. You are already a member of the best. The kingdom of heaven, you're going to sit on the on the throne with the Lord. That's the highest classification that anyone can find on earth or in heaven. Don't join anything. And I ask, why should I join? Well, wherever you go, you will have a brother, a fraternity brother. I said, I have that already. Wherever I go, I have a brother and a sister in the Lord. Don't join anything. Besides, when you join a fraternity, you have to pay. There's a price to pay. And when you join a fraternity or a sorority, you have to be initiated. And I had two classmates who joined a fraternity. They paid the price, and they were initiated. As a result, one classmate had his nose broken and deviated to the side. And the other one was so beaten that for 1 week he couldn't sit. He had to stand at the back of the class. And when the Lord saved me, I didn't pay anything, and he didn't beat. He made me whole. Beloved, we have the best that can be. Don't join anything. Don't join. Now, what does the world think of us? What does the world think of us? John chapter 15. We are already a member of the best. What does the world think of us? John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have taken you out of the world hates us. The world doesn't like us. The world hates us. I have a little piece here I'd like to read for you, indicating how the world feels about us. You'll have to excuse me. This light is not the best for reading. I congratulate our brother. Well, he's young. He's young. But he could read with that light. But the world hates us. Let me read. I am an atheist. This came out just in April of this year. I am an atheist. I think the Bible is just another book. Creationism is nonsense. And fundamentalist Christianity is a threat to sanity. Can you imagine that? If I thought prayer was of any use, I would pray for the religion to be swept off the face of the earth. That's how they feel about us. Another one. I am a biology student at the University of Texas, and I get sick of hearing about evolution. My professors have even gone so far as to say that all creationists are idiots. Oh my. That's what they think of us. They don't think very much of us. We are idiots. 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, what the world thinks of us. Chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, the world hates us. They think we are insane. They think that we are a bunch of idiots and fools. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. even unto this present hour. We both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. We labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer. Being defamed, we entreat, and are made as the filth of the earth, and are the offscouring of all things today. That's what they think of. As the filth of the earth. Worthless filth, and the offscouring of the earth. That's what they think of us. How are we to react to this way that they think? How are we to respond to the fact that the world hates us and thinks us as nothing? How are we to respond? Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. How are we to respond to these terrible people who hate us? Matthew 5, 44. I say unto you, love your enemies. We ought to love them. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and they hate us. And pray for them that despitefully use you. We are in the world against enemies. We have enemies in this world. What weapons are we to use against the enemy? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We have these enemies that despise us, that hate us, that would like to get rid of us. And let me just say, incidentally, I'm not a politician, and we don't preach politics, but let me say this. There are a number of men and women running or desiring to be president of the United States. What do they think of us? Check on it and see. Check on all 14, I think it's about 14 of them, and find out what they think about us. They despise us by and large, with few exceptions. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, physical, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We don't fight with bullets. We don't fight with knives. We don't fight with stones. What are our weapons? Ephesians chapter 6. We are in a world that hates us. What are our weapons? Ephesians chapter 6. The Christian's weapons. We start at verse 13. Now let me say in advance, five of these weapons are to protect us. Only two things do we use against the enemy. Now let's read. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with truth. That protects us. The breastplate of righteousness. That protects us. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's for our protection. The shield of faith. That's for our protection. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. The helmet of salvation. All of these protect us. Well, then what do we fight with? The sword of the Spirit. which is the Word of God and prayer. And we want to talk a little about the Word of God as used against the enemy. And you know who's the best example of that? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. The Word of God is to be used against the enemy. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 1. The Word of God is our great offensive weapon. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 4. I see some of you smiling. You must say, well, what is there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, to tell you what to defend yourself with? Matthew chapter 4. That, of course, is part of getting old. So don't get old. See? Stay where you are. Stay young. Now, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But the Lord answered, "It is written." He used the Word of God against the enemy. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. He shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up." Jesus answered, "It is written." Verse 8, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus answered, "Get thee hence, Satan, it is written." Our weapon against the enemy is the Word of God. That's why it's so important for us to learn the Word of God. Turn with me, please, to the book of Ezra, chapter 7. I'm now reminded, two of my children are here. And they always used to tell me, back in New York, "Daddy, you turn to too many scriptures." That was their criticism of me. But I can't help myself. I just have to turn to explain what the Lord has given me. The Lord used the Word against the enemy and defeated the enemy. Now, Ezra chapter 7. Verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a skilled scribe. A skilled scribe. Now, to read Hebrew, you've got to be skilled. The letters of the alphabet are not like the letters of our alphabet. They're very similar. For example, you have a stroke that goes vertical. At the top of that, you put a line straight out. That's one letter. If you bend it up, that's another letter. If you bend it down, that's a third letter. You've got to be very skillful when you read Hebrew. Let's read on. He was a skillful scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God had given him, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord upon him. There went up some of the children of Israel, of the priests and Levites and so forth. Come down to verse 10. He was skilled. Ezra prepared his heart to learn the word of God. That's how you learn the word of God. You've got to prepare yourself and do it. We read of those in the book of the Acts that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily. And if we're going to know the word of God so as to use it effectively, we've got to search the scriptures daily. I remember soon after I retired, and by the way, young folks, never retire. Refire. Don't you retire. Find something to do for the Lord. Don't retire. But soon after I had what they call retired, a dear sister came to me and said, "Well, what do you do now?" Oh, I said, "I'm giving myself over to Bible study." And she said, "Is that all?" One thing was obvious, she didn't study the Bible. Those that were in Berea were more noble in that they searched the scriptures daily. And if we're going to defend the enemy and confront the enemy, we've got to know the word. We've got to search the scriptures daily. Let me read you a little piece. Oh, where is it? It's a lovely little piece. I thought I had my notes organized, but something has happened. My, my, my. Isn't that terrible? The title of this piece, oh, here it is, yes. She Knows Too Much Bible. Now listen. A little girl, being asked by a priest to attend religious service, refused, saying it was against her father's wishes. The priest said she should call him father and obey him. "Oh, sir," she said, "we are taught in the Bible to honor thy father and mother." She replied, "But you want to call me father," she said. To this she replied, "No, for the scripture says, call no man your father upon the earth." How's that? That's defeating the enemy with the word. I read further. The priest was not anxious to lose a religious battle with this young lady. And he said, "You have no business reading the Bible. Then why did Jesus tell thee to search the scriptures?" she asked. That's the way we defeat the enemy, with the word, not with argument, not with debate, not with showing how smart we are, with the word of God. "But that is only to the clergy," the priest said. "You understand that a little girl cannot know the scriptures. Then why," she asked, "did Paul write to Timothy, from a child thou hast known the scriptures?" Now, how do you like that? That's the way to use the word. Surely there was some way to get the best of this young upstart, said the priest. "Timothy was being trained to be a bishop, and he was taught by church authorities." "Oh, no," said she. "He was taught by his mother and his grandmother." At least that's what Paul said. Using the word to defeat the enemy. Not be smart, not debating, not argumentation and debate. Use the word. That's enough. Years ago, I was in Florida, and after the morning service, a brother called attention, said, "Oh, brethren, sisters, I've been in the last week at a Bible conference. Oh, it was wonderful. You should have been there. The main thing I learned was that we make too much of the cross. We need to de-emphasize the cross. We talk too much about the cross. The cross, the cross. Stop it." Some brows were raised, some were wrinkled. I was only a visitor. I said, "May I just say a word? You say that we make too much of the cross. Paul says he glories in the cross. Who's right, you or Paul?" And they raised up brows, came down, and the frowns came up. Defeating the enemy with the word. But we can only know the word if we read and study the word. I have so many items here. I often wonder which ones I should use. But there's a nice example here. 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Chapter 2. 2 Kings, chapter 2. Verse 19. "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren." Now note, he said, "Bring me a new cruse, put salt therein." Emphasize that. Put salt in the cruse. And they brought it to him. He went forth unto the spring of waters, cast the salt in there. Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. How was he able to pour salt out of the cruse? He poured salt out of the cruse, but first he had to put salt in the cruse. And if we are going to defend the Lord with his word, we've got to put the word in. Then we can let it out. We had a professor of pharmacology, study of drugs. And on a Friday he gave us, at that time we had to sample all the drugs that we studied. Gave us each a tablet. He said, "Now this tablet works on your memory and gives you real recall. It's a good drug for your memory." We took it. Monday he came, he gave a test, and more than half of the students failed. He said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "We took the drug." "But did you study? You can't recall what you haven't put in. How do you expect to remember something that you never put in your brain?" It's the same way with the book. We can only recall what we have put in. And it's wonderful how the Holy Spirit leads us to recall. As you're studying a certain portion, then suddenly you remember another portion that fits in. But we've got to put it in first. And young folks, put the word in. I know you have a lot of work. I know you have a lot of schoolwork. I know you have responsibilities at home. I am no example. But with all my studies, I always studied a portion from the book every night. And in my last year in medical school, I believe it was the Spirit of the Lord that spoke to me, saying, "Before you study the medical books, get something from the Bible." Sometimes one verse would do. Sometimes a few verses. And sometimes two or three chapters before I got something. I would get something from the Bible and then go to the medical books. What do you think happened? What do you think happened? Read Daniel chapter 1 and you will find out what happened. Those that honor God, He will honor. Young folks, put God first in your life. Honor Him. You'll be amazed what He will do for you. The Word of God. But if we're going to know it so that we can defend and defeat the enemy, we've got to study it. We've got to put it in. I think I'm going to stop. I have several things here, but this is enough. We are in a world that hates us. The Lord said they hated Him, and they will hate us. Those that hate us are enemies. And we are to use the right arm and armament against the enemies. Armament number one, the Word of God. Armament number two, we'll study it in later time, prayer. Oh, you'll be surprised what prayer will do. Meanwhile, let us study the Word that we can use against the enemy. Don't approach the enemy in your own wisdom. Don't try to outwit the enemy with your smartness. Outwit the enemy with this book. And to know the book, you've got to study the book. You've got to learn the book. And with all that you have to do, as busy as you are, take time to learn and study and know the Word of God. You'll be amazed how helpful will be when you face the enemy. Hymn number 222. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the word for me. Brother George always suggests that we sing it twice. And I'm going to suggest that we do that at this time. 222. There are places in the world where they don't have a Bible. There are places in the world where there's only one Bible for a community. And you have to make an appointment to read that Bible. And after you have read a few verses, maybe for a half hour, you have to stop. The next person comes. Thank God for the B-I-B-L-E. One other thought. Do you know that what we call progress is the result of the Bible and Christianity? Hospitals. There were no hospitals before the Bible and before Christians came to the world. Hospitals are a direct result of the Bible and Christianity. Public education. There was no such thing until the Bible had its influence. And many other wonderful things we owe to the Word of God and to His people. Be encouraged. Study the Bible. Know the Bible. And use it to defend the enemy. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, We thank thee for who thou art. We thank thee for thy love in sending thy Son and giving thy Son to die for our sins. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for bearing our sins in thy body upon the tree. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for shedding thy blood to cleanse us from sin. We thank thee, Father, for sending the Holy Spirit to teach us thy precious word. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for thy word. May we go on in the power of thy word. May it be ours to study and to know thy word and to use it as an offensive armor against the ungodly. We thank thee for this day, the period of worship, the period of study in the Sunday school lesson, and even for this last thought that thou hast given us. Dismiss us now, we pray, with thy blessing resting upon us, as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.